Let's open up to the Gemara in Nida on Daf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph. And there are two, or maybe even three major parts to this sugya. The first major part, which we touched on last time, and I'll just reiterate, is Bo Minemer Rav Nachman, that's on line 5. And that presents the background, the framework for the whole sugya. That is, Vestos Deoraisa O Derabbanan. Now what that means is that if a woman sees dam on 3 consecutive months at the same time and the same day, she sets herself a vest, and then henceforth we anticipate that she'll see the next month at the same time and the same day. Is that halacha d'oraisa, or is it a d'rabbanan? And if it's a d'oraisa, it means what's called chazaka, orach bizmano bo. The orach comes in its time. And we've seen a precedent for chazaka d'oraisa when something happens 3 times consecutively in the parasha of Shor HaMu'ot, where the Shor goes through a transition period from one state or one status to another. The first status being Ashar Tam, and that's up to the third Negicha, third time it goes, and then the transition into a state of being Ashar Mu'at. So for example, if you open up the Gemara Bava Basra in the third Perek, you'll see that the principle of Chazaka is derived from Shor HaMu'at, which means that after the third Negicha, we can anticipate that the Shor will once again be belligerent and gore someone, or something, whatever it might be. So that's called Chazaka. If we apply that to Vestos, it means that a woman saw Dam 3 times, we can anticipate that she'll see Dam a 4th time. And that's called Vestos d'Oraisa, otherwise known as Chazaka Orach Bizmano Bo. That's one possibility. The second possibility is to say that although in general we do rely on Chazaka, the Torah recognizes and validates the fact that something, a pattern, repeats itself continuously time after time, not so in the case of a woman's cycle of Vestos. There it's not so reliable. I'll mention to you the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish says a woman's vestet is not reliable because it's liable to change. For example, we have a concept called Mesulekes Damim, which means during pregnancy or after birth, or during Ziknus when she gets older. And not only that, there are movements of the body that could change the vest, or moods of a person. It's so subjective and so fluctuating that the normal pattern of and reliability, validity of Chazaka doesn't apply in this case. But be that as it may, even if the Torah doesn't recognize Vestos, the Rabbanan do. And therefore the Gemara says that Veset the Rabbanan. Now there are going to be various nafkaminas as to whether Vestos are Doraisa or the Rabbanan. But as far as our fundamental consideration is here in the sugya, we want to know what happens after she reaches her vest. Do we assume she saw Dam? Of course, you might counter and argue, well, what do you mean, did she see Dam? She says she didn't see Dam. The answer is the halacha operates with a possibility that there was Dam and she was not aware of it. If you take a look, for example, Rashi, here on Daf Tes Zayin, about 5 lines down from the top, Rashi says, Dam Chazoy, she had a Re'iyas Dam, but Naf Hala Karka. Somehow the Dam fell onto the Karka, and therefore she wasn't aware of the Dam. So there is such a thing as a woman having a Re'iyas Dam, and yet, to our surprise, she knows nothing about it. That would be a svara to say that the vest tells me, at least, if not on a Doraisa level, Chach on a Dorabana level, that she's going to see Dam, and if her vest passed, and we don't know if she did see dam or she didn't. The hanocha, the premise is that she did see dam.
So when we say vias dam, it's not that she saw it; it's that it exists.
That it came out of her body.
Right. Even if she didn't see it.
Even if she doesn't know about it, she didn't see it. Right.
And
that's where vestos comes into play. Even though she didn't see it, we still assume. The Chazaka tells me that Bismano ba and she missed it. As strange as that sounds, why did she miss it and how did she miss it? That's the premise, and that's where Vest comes in with his very powerful force to say that even though she missed it, she saw the dam. She had to have seen the dam. But what happens if the Vest passes and she does a bedika?
So when you say the Vest passes, I'm sorry, I just want to make sure I didn't... So we were saying, like, Monday at 9 o'clock is the best?
Right.
That's what you mean?
Well, that itself is going to be a machlokas tanoim. According to one sheet in tanoim, we divide the day into two onos. Each ono serves as a vest unto itself. According to other tanoim, we pinpointed to morning versus afternoon versus evening, and possibly even to the moment. Okay. So we're not ready for that yet. Exactly how meticulous or how limited we can in terms of a time span, but let's assume for our purposes that the vest spreads over day versus night. In other words, you divide the day into 12 hours and then another 12 hours. If that 12 hour period comes and she's already seen on three previous occasions, the premise is that she saw on this occasion. But now she went ahead and she made a bedika. So here we have a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Rav says that if she made the bedika and she found herself to be tahora, that proves that she was tahora during this entire period of time. And therefore, not only is she going to be muteres from now and on, subsequent to the bedika, but even lemafreya, let's say, for example, she had contact with taharos, you know, she touched a dough that was used to bake for a challah bake, right? Everyone's talking about challah bake these days, right? So then the challah would be becheskas tahora, the truma that she touched would be becheskas tahora, the kohenim could eat it, and that's according to Rav. Comes along Shmuel, and he says, no, if she passed her vest, we're going to assume that she saw dam, and even if she makes a bedika and she finds herself to be tahora, we still have an assumption that she was tmeah. So we'll see that inside, and we'll try to clarify that in just a moment.
So when is this? She's, again, she was supposed to have it, we'll say Monday,
right?
Day, and she did the bedika Tuesday?
Tuesday.
Yeah, okay.
So then, according to Rav, she's tahora. According to Shmuel, she's tmeah, despite the fact that she made this bedika.
From the beginning of this manifest?
Okay, we'll get into that. Everything, you know, let me just go slowly, because there are a lot of variables here, and I don't want to confuse myself. Maybe I won't confuse you, but I'll confuse myself. And the Gemara says that the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel revolves around this issue. And that is that Shmuel maintains that Vestos do Raisa, the Torah has absolute reliance on this chazak, on this vest. Orach bizmano ba. She didn't see it, but it was there. And that's why her chazak now changes, even though, again, she didn't see the dam. And she's becheskes tmeah. Rav, on the other hand, assumes no. We don't know exactly what her status is during this period of time. The Rabbanon will be machmir, and they'll say, well, she has to anticipate that she's going to see on the vest, but the Rabbanon are open to the possibility that the vest came and passed and she didn't see, because the Rabbanon are not willing to upgrade this chazaka and rely on this chazaka as a full-fledged chazaka. Therefore, Rav says, if we have to be choshesh midrabbanon that the vest came and she saw, well, let's just check it out. Let her do a bedika. If the bedika turns out to be tahora, right, she gets a negative result on her exam, then we can assume that the orach didn't come and the vest was unreliable in this case. She changed her vest and she's tahora. That's how far Rav is going to go. What would Rav say anticipating in the future, when the vest is coming around, will she see? Well, one school of thought in the Rishonim, and that's going to be the bulk of the Rishonim, we're going to assume that Midrabanan, she has to be concerned, or she has to anticipate that she will see, and therefore she must make a bedikah. The Rabbanan say that she's got to make a bedikah. She makes a bedikah, she finds herself tahora, fine, that allays all of our fears. But she must make a bedikah. Assuming we paskin like Rav, which we're going to try to establish, that vestos ader Rabbanan, then what happens if the Rabbanan required her to make this bedika, but she didn't make a bedika? What happens during this interim period according to Rav? Again, you feel you're asking about Shmuel, we'll come back to Shmuel, but let's focus on Rav, because Rav is so much more relevant l'halacha in the Shulchan Aruch and the Poskim, because we paskin like Rav according to almost all the Rishonim. We'll soon see that the Mordechai quotes Reb Elezer Mimetz, that he paskins like Reb Zera, who paskin that vestos don't rise, but leave out the Mordechai for a moment. According to 99% of the Rishonim, including the Balei HaTosfos, including the Rush, including the Ravid and the Rashba and the Ramban, they all paskin perech and unanimously like Rav, that vestos are derabbanan. What is her status until she makes that bedika? So just to be machdim es ha-me'uchar, just to give you previews of coming attractions here, if you take a look at Tosfos on Daf Tezayin Omen Aleph, the fourth Tosfos that's called V'Rav Nachman, and it's Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, who, against Rav Zera, paskins that vestos ad Rabbanon, Tosfos says that we paskin like Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, that vestos ad Rabbanon. And the reason for that is we have a principle in halacha called halacha kibasra, that within the history of, you know, the Talmud and the Amoraim and so forth, so we pass like the latest Amora. And Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak is a basra; he's late. Tosfos has to prove that from other sugis and shas. But be that as it may, we accept the shita of Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak that vestos ad Rabbanon. And not only that, but Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak himself is standing on the shoulders of Rav, and in a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, there's a split. The rule goes like this: in Dine Momenos, we pass like Shmuel. That's called Halachik Shmuel B'dine. But in Iser Veheta, we pass like Rav. And since we're dealing with an Iser Nidal Abayla, and Rav says Vestos Adrabanon, therefore we paskin like Rav Vestos Adrabanon. So basically, just to summarize, Tosfos pushes for two arguments why Halacha L'maisa Vestos Adrabanon. Number one, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak accepts Vestos Adrabanon against Rav Zera. Number two, Rav held that Vestos Adrabanon against Shmuel. We paskin like Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak because he's a Basra. And we pass it like Rav Bisuri against Shmuel, and therefore Halacha L'maisa Vestos are only Drabbanan. One thing that clearly means is that when she makes the bedika, whenever that comes around, a day after her vest passed, a week after her vest passed, I don't know how long, then if the results of that bedika are Tahora, she's Tahora. But what is the status of this woman, Labaila, up until the time that she makes the bedika? The Rabbanan were worried about Vestos, that's called Vestos the Rabbanan. They required clearly a clarification here. We're going to assume that when the vest comes, Min Rabbanan, we're going to be choshish that she saw a dam. She had a Re'ias dam. I don't mean saw with her eyes, but she had a Re'ias dam migufa. And therefore she has to make a bedika. That's Min Rabbanan. Now, if you look at Tosfos, Dibra Maskel Rav Nachman, but fast forward to the end of Tosfos, that's the last four lines of Tosfos, the line starts with the word Hilchach. He says, Hilchach Isha Sheyesh La Vest, Velo Budka Vishas Vesta, but the Akarkach Budka Umitsasa Tahora, then Tahora Labaila. What do you read into this Tosfos? I'll just summarize the Tosfos. Tosfos says that since we paskin vestos adarabonon, therefore we have to be choshesh for a vest. And if she didn't make a bedika b'shas vesta, then if and when she makes a bedika finally, and she finds herself to be tahora, she's tahora. What does Tosa seem to imply? Or I think
finds,
it's more than just see.
She finds blood, then she has tahora.
But what else?
If she did,
if she didn't make a bedika, again, Tosa is putting the emphasis here on the achar kach bodka, underline those. I'd call it two words, even though it's really achar kach bodka, it's three words. Like, underline those words, if you can. The achar kach bodka, Tosas says, then she's tahora l'vayla. But what is Tosas implying if she didn't make a bedika during that interim period before she made a bedika? She's asura l'vayla, correct? She's becheskes tmeya mirabbanon. And the only moment in time that's going to redeem her, so to speak, is going to be the moment of a bedika when she finds herself to be tahora. So it's not just that the Rabbanon created this kind of a, you know, l'chatchila. You know, sometimes we say that the Rabbanon want you to be machmer l'chatchila, make sure you cover all your bases, but for the evidence, it's okay. That the Rabbanon required a bedika l'chatchila, it's a good thing, and we recommend it, and we advocate in favor of bedika, that's it. No. Tosa is saying that when she makes a bedika afterwards, and she finds herself to be tahor, then she's tahor. But until then, the Rabbanon required a bedika because that's Tosa the Rabbanon. What we're going to soon see, Rabbosai, is that this Tosfos and those Rishonim who accepted Tosfos, including the Ramban and the Rashba, that incurred the wrath of the Rif and the Rambam. And the Rif and the Rambam are going to understand that B'shas Vesta, she needs a bedika because Vestos the Rabbanon, but if she didn't make the bedika, everything's okay. We're going to assume the vest came and it passed and she didn't see down. But keep in mind, right now we haven't gotten to the Rif and the Rambam yet. We have the Shita of Tosis that the Rabbanon absolutely required a bedika because Vestos the Rabbanon, and in the absence thereof, she's assumed that the Orach Bizman of Ba Mirabbanon, again, always have to mention some Mirabbanon, and she's Tmei Levi.
Chazaka kicks in according to Tosis.
Correct.
It doesn't kick in according to Rambam.
Right, but even according to Tosis, the Chazaka doesn't kick in one sense, and that is that if she finds herself...
Then that counteracts the Chazaka.
Because if you go with Vestos, no Raisa. So we now have three sheepers. Let's just summarize. The rabbi is pointing out that we should summarize three sheepers. I think he's right. Number one, we have on one polar extreme the sheet of Shmuel, and we're going to assume now naively that Rabbi Zera accepted Shmuel, and that's Vestos Doraisa. Vestos Doraisa means that there's an absolute, certain assumption on the part of the Torah that she did see when her vest came. The fact that she doesn't know about it is irrelevant. Which means that if a week down the line she makes a bedika and she finds herself tahora, that's good mikan l'ava, that's not good l'mafreya, because she did see. And she is tmeya from the time of the vest and on. Only if she makes a bedika at the time of the vest, and at the time of the vest the bedika comes out to be tahora, that's the only case in which she is tahora, and then we assume there was no re'iya during her vest, because she made a bedika B'shas vest.
What happens
if the vest passes and she didn't make a bedika? Then what kicks in? The chazaka called Vestos Doraisa. She finds herself a day, two, a week later to be after a bedika to be Torah. That's fine from then and on. That's one extreme.
She was supposed to have it on Monday. She did a bedika and she's Torah.
Yeah.
And now Tuesday comes and she doesn't do a bedika.
She's okay. She's okay even if you hold Vestos Doraisa. In other words, the Bedika B'Shas Vesta, but only B'Shas Vesta, establishes that this Chazak is inapplicable in this particular case. In general, of course, it's applicable, but for this Rachel Leah, it's not applicable. Because she made a Bedika B'Shas Vesta. If she didn't make a Bedika, then the assumption is based on this Chazaka, which we call Vestos Doraisa, she is Tmeya. And even if she does make a bedika, whenever it is, when she gets around to it finally, and she finds herself tahora, that's only relevant from the moment of the bedika and on. Fine. That's Shmuel.
Assuming, according to the premise you're using now, that the vesset
period is a full day. But if you have
or a half a day, whatever.
But if it's half a day, and she does the bedikah in the second ona on the same day, how can you split that day up between part tamei and part tara?
Well, again, according to we'll get to Rav Yossi Shita, but in the Tanoim, we're going to split the day into its parts. And if she didn't make a bedikah b'shas vesta, which means in that part of the day, she saw dam. And in the interim period until the next 12 hours come along, when she does make a bedikah, she finds herself to the Torah, up until that bedikah, she's tamei.
No, you see what I'm saying, but if the onot of vesta are not 12 hours, but they're morning, afternoon, evening, as you said, one of the shittos is, then she could turn out that she was tamei in the morning and tahor in the afternoon.
Right, right.
And that doesn't...
That again, everything shifts depending upon, you know, when is Shas Vesta. Now, the Rishonim up until this point have not given us clarity exactly what Shas Vesta is, because that's, you know, a different subject.
Just a little, if she checked it at the beginning, in the first hour of the 12 hours, and she was fine, she doesn't have to...
then she's fine.
Even though she...
then she's fine, because that's called Shas Vesta. Shas Vesta spreads over and includes and incorporates the entire 12 hours. Okay. Then we have the shita called Vestos de Rabbanan, which is Rav Shita, and which is Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok Shita, and almost all the Rishonim accept that shita of Rav. Oh. Question is, how do we understand Rav? Rav holds Vestos de Rabbanan, which clearly means, and about this there's no man, less man de poli, that she has to anticipate that she will see during the Vest. Less mind the polig, therefore, that she has to make a bedikah v'shas vest. Now we have a machlokas how to understand Rav. If she didn't make a bedikah v'shas vest, the sheet of Tosfos and many other Rishonim is that since the Rabbana required a bedikah, because they said that the Rabbana were going to assume and anticipate that she will see during that vest, therefore, up until the time that she fulfills this requirement, which is only rabbinic, of a bedikah, she's assumed to be tmeya. Again, it's only midrabanan, but she's assumed to be tmeya. When she makes her bedikah subsequently, and she finds herself to be tahora, then once again everybody agrees that she's tahora straight across, meaning if she came in contact with any trumos or taros of any sort, those retain their status as tahora. Right, because that's Shitus Rav, that Vestosa Drabona. But as far as Baila is concerned, what do we do in this interim period until she makes it, until she gets around to making the Bedika? According to Shitus Atosvis, Drabona say, up until you make that Bedika, you are Becheskas Tmeya. And here we have the Shita of the Rif and the Rambam against the Bali Atosvis. They're of the opinion that the Rabbana required a Bedika Lechatchila as a Chumra, but if she didn't make the Bedika and she doesn't know about the Dam, then she's Tahora. Okay, that's what we have. That's what we have so far. Now, is there anyone who paskins like...
What was the question? That was the three?
That's what I'm saying. Okay, there's okay. Rav, and then this, excuse me, there's Shmuel, and then two Shitas in Rav.
Got it. Okay.
Okay, so that's what I call the three Shitas. The most extreme Shita of Rav, Lekula, means that, as the Rav and the Rif say, that even if she did make a Bedika, she's still assumed to be Tahor. She's Muteris Levila without a Bedika. And in the middle, we have another, shall we say, compromise sheet of Rav. Again, it's not Shmuel, because Shmuel's going to say that she's Vaday Tmeya up until she makes the Bedika. And nothing's going to change. Rav certainly holds that she's Tahora Lemafreya from the time that she makes the Bedika. But the question is, what do we do in the interim period? That's where we have this compromise sheet of Tosfos. And he understands that according to Rav, the Chacham required a Bedika. And they say that up until the time that she makes the Bedika, she's Asura Levi.
Even if she turns out to be Tahar from Bedika?
Correct. Is there anyone who paskins that Vestos Doraisa? So if you take a look on the page that I gave you, you'll see that we first start with the Gemara Itmar, That's the first source on your page. Isha sheyesh la vest v'igiyashas vesta v'lo bodka l'besov bodka. Amar Rav bodka matzis tmeya tmeya tahora tahora. Ushmuel amar afilu bodka matzis tahora nami tmeim neisha orach bizmano ba. Lema says the Gemara b'vestos kamiflugi demar sover d'oraisa that Shmuel and mar sover that's Rav dira bonon. Rav Zera de Kuli Alma Vestos do Raisa. Even Rav agrees to Vestos do Raisa. Kanshe kishe bodka atzma kishir vest. Kanshe lo bodka atzma kishir vest. Now Rashi has two different interpretations of Rav Zera. Just for the sake of simplicity, to make life easier for me, I'm going to take the second pshat in Rashi. Okay. Now, this second pshat in Rashi, you'll find Dibra Maskil Vekan. Okay, if you happen to have the Gemara itself, and in my print of the Gemara, it's parallel to Hagos Marav Mirunchenberg, but that probably doesn't help anyone else here. But anyway, there's a Rashi which I'd say is about 20 lines down from the top. Vekan Shelo Bodka Atzma. And if you skip to the fourth line in that Rashi, he says, "V'ikol the Amri," and there are those who say, this is Rashi quoting a school of commentaries, "Demar Omar Chada Umar Omar Chada V'lo Pligi." That Rav was talking about one scenario, one situation, Shmuel another situation, and they never had a machlokas. This is the way the Ika Diamri of Rashi, which we're going to accept for our purposes now, understood the Gemara here of Rav Zera, the Kuli Alma Vestos Do Raisa, and we're going to read it like this: Mar Omar Chada V'lo Pligi, meaning the following: Rav is talking about the case of Bodka Atzma Kishir Vest, which means whatever that Shir Vest is, whether it's half the day, you know, 12 hours or less, whatever it is, that's a sugya. She made a bedika in the sheer vest, and she found herself to be tahora. In that case, again, there's no machlokas now between Rav and Shmuel, so kuli alma lo pligi, she's tahora. Correct? And mar sovar, right, v'kan, as we have it in our Gemara, meaning Shmuel's psak that she's tmeo, isha lo bodka atzma b'kishir vest. She waited until after her sheer vest. If she waits until after she invests, then she loses. What does it mean she loses? She found herself to be tahora. She's going to be tahora from now and henceforth. But she was tmeya from the moment of her vest up until the time that she made the bedik. And Rav agrees to that because according to Rav Zera, kuliyama lo pligi vestos do raisa. Does anyone accept Rav Zera, which means that kuliyama lo pligi, even Rav agrees that vestos do raisa? So that's the morning. And that's the fourth source on your page. Now, the Mordechai quotes Reish Aleph Mem. What's Reish Aleph Mem? Rebbe Elezer Mimetz. Rebbe Elezer Mimetz is one of the Baliat Tosfos, very often quoted by Tosfos. He's also known for a work that he authored called the Sefer HaYireim, if you've heard of it. And the Mordechai very often quotes Rebbe Elezer Mimetz. And to the best of my knowledge, there's no earliest source for this Rebbe Elezer Mimetz other than the Mordechai. Mordechai was himself a Rishon, well, albeit a late Rishon, but he was from the last of the Baliat Tosfos. And very often he's the source for Rebbe Elezer Mimetz, if we don't have it in Rebbe Elezer Mimetz's own handwriting. And he says the following. Again, it's a long presentation. I'm going to just get to the punchline. And basically he says that we paskin, we accept Rabbi Zera, and that means that vestos are da'oraisa, and possibly according to one lishon in Rashi, this is the lishon of Asa Rashi, even Rav agrees that vestos are da'oraisa, according to that pshat. And therefore, according to Rabbi Zera Hecha, I underlined it, it's about the fifth line down, Hecha de bodka atzmak shir vest levesto, pirish miyad, v'hakam Rav matza tahora tahor. Avalim ichra achar havest, if she delayed and she only made the bedika after her vest passed, afilu matzas tar, even though she found herself to be tar, tame. Right? Why? Divestos Doras. That's Reb Zeir. So far, so good?
Well, unless you need to say tummy means tummy from the...
Okay, again, I'm only quoting the Mordechai just to see if anyone accepts Reb Zeir. Again, there's a million and one variables here, but just if you could follow my framework, my presentation. Pirish. Now, here's where Reb Lezmi Metz adds something amazing. He says, Samchu Aleha, we rely on her, so to speak. I mean, it, but it in the female, in the feminine. What is the Aleha? Anybody know what we're talking about?
Her bedikah?
No, we're relying on the Chazakah, right? Vestos Doraisa Mi is the same, is synonymous with Chazakah. That's called Chazakah, Orach Bizmano Ba. We rely on that Chazakah, because again, if we accept Reb Zeir, it means that Chazakah Orech Bizmano Ba. That's called Vestos Doraisa. But then he adds, Ki'ilu Hein Doraisa. Now keep in mind, Reb Lezmi Metz is talking about Reb Zeir. The simple reading in Reb Zeir is Vestos Doraisa. The Torah itself validates this Chazakah and relies on it totally to such an extent that we assume that she's Tmeya once her vest passed, unless she made a Vedika Bionas Vesta. No, says Reb Lezmi Metz, Ke'ilu Hein Da'oraisa. The Orach Bizmano Ba. Now, Reb Osai, if he says Ke'ilu Hein Da'oraisa, basically what's he saying?
It's not
Da'oraisa, it's the Rabbanon. But the only difference between Vestos Da'oraisa and Vestos the Rabbanon is that if you say Vestos Da'oraisa, then the Rabbanon went very far. And they validated this Chazakah and upgraded it to the status of a Vadai, which means that we have every reason to assume Midrabanan that she saw Pesha's Vesta. And this really changes the whole picture here. We're not, you know, on the one hand, we're jumping out of our seats because we see here that the Mordechai is quoting the Ra'ema who's saying that we pass in like Reb Zeir, that all of a sudden we have a Rishon who goes on record against all the other Rishonim that Vestos on the Raisa, but a meticulous reading of Reb Lezmi Metz indicates that there never was such a thing as Vestos on the Raisa. Vestos on the Raisa is a figment of our imagination. And in truth, Vestos Doraisa means Ke'ilu Hein Doraisa. I mean, with Rabbanah, the question is how far the Rabbanah are willing to go with this Chazakah Orech Bizmano Ba. If I hold Vestos Rabbanah, they didn't go too far. They were only saying, let's anticipate that she will see, but after that period passed, we still assume that she's Tahora. Again, the Rabbanah may have gone, according to Tosis, a step further and required a Bedika, but be that as it may, once she makes that Bedika, she's assumed that she didn't see Vishas Vesta. That's our assumption, that's our conclusion. Comes along, Rabbi Metz, and says, you know what? Vestos Adarabbanah. But Vestos Doraisa means that the Rabbanon was so serious, you know, so severe, so such heavy weight that they put into this Chazaka Orech Bizmano Ba, that they're going to assume that she certainly saw at the time of her vest, but all that is only to Rabbanon. Now, does anybody accept La Halacha, this Psak of Reb Lezmi Metz? So first of all, we start with the Darkei Moshe. I'm going to read to you the Darkei Moshe because it does, my version, at least of Bar Ilan, doesn't have the Darkei Moshe. And the Darkei Moshe says, that's the Ramah, right? The Ramah in his commentary on the tour. And he writes that, just one second, I wrote it down here. Of course, I can't find it when I need it. Oh, here it is. He writes that Shari Dura is like one generation before the Ramah in the Ashkenazic world, Pasak Reb Lezmi Metz. And that's the only line of the Ramah that we pass like Reb Lezmi Metz, which means that if her vest passes and she didn't make a bedika, she's Asura Levila until she makes the bedika clearly. And that's called Vestos Doraisa, which means Asu Ke'ilu Hein Doraisa. In the later poskim, did anyone accept Reb Lezmi Metz? Take a look at the Bach. The Bach, who's a century and change after the Ramah, he paskins, V'ani Omer, which is about 2.5 lines before the end of the paragraph, the roy lochush lahachmir leinyan maisa, that we should be machmir leinyan maisa for this Rabbi Elazar mimetz, which he quotes on the second line in this paragraph, that halach is karavi zera, and the only time we could be matir her is if she made the bedikah immediately at the time of her vest. But if she dilly-dallied, then she's becheskas tmeya, because chazaka orech bizmano ba, based on the psak of Rabbi Elazar mimetz like Rabbi Zera, that vestos d'oraisa. And to give this a little bit more strength, the Bach says that Kain Pasak b'sefer HaTruma, okay, that's one of the late Rishon of the Bali HaTruma, so we have now the following. We have the Mordechai who accepts Rabbi Elazar mimetz. We have the Darkei Moshe who says we should be machmir like Rabbi Elazar mimetz, that bestows d'oraisa. We have the Shari Dura who paskins l'chum, right? We have the Bali HaTruma, and we have the Bach. All the above hold that Lamaisa, we paskin that vestos d'oraisa based on Rav Elazar mimetz ki'ilu d'oraisa. However, Abosai, in Shulchan Aruch, you won't find it. There's no mention of this chumra in Shulchan Aruch, and the siman again that we're learning is Kuf Pei Dalid, and the Shulchan Aruch over and over again paskins vestos d'rabbanan, d'ramah Schweigt, as we say in Yiddish, you know, he was silent, he has no comment, and although in the Darkei Moshe on the tour, he mentions the Shari Dura, and Roy Lahachmir and the Bach, and all this kind of stuff, none of it is in the Shulchan Aruch.
But, what's his name, the Rehaim was also the Rabbanan, says Ki'ilu Dura.
Correct, but according to the Rehaim, once she passes the vest, she's Becheskas Tmei Levaila, until she makes a Bedika. That doesn't appear anywhere in Shulchan Aruch. Okay then? Now, when it comes to the Taz, which you'll see, he comments, he says that Afilu im lo bodka ela ad zman harbe, that she's tahora labaila, even if a long period of time went by past her vest. The law, you know, we're not going to say Shema Nofal Ba'aretz. You know, maybe she did have a Riyastam, B'shas Vesta, and it fell into the ground, and she didn't see it, and so forth and so on. On the other hand, the Shach is the first commentary that I know of on Shulchan Aruch. I'm not talking about the Bach. The Bach is a commentary on the tour. But on Shulchan Aruch itself, the Shach is the first one who mentions this Chumrah. And this you'll see, he first quotes the Bach, Pasak yesh lahachmir kemaskonas amordechai b'shem ra'emu k'sefer trumos k'agol shari dura b'shem asmak didavka bodka atzma miyad liachar vesta. Right, that's the case that Shmuel admits that she's tahora. She made an immediate bedika. And now I'm on the bottom of page 1 of Yemar Mekos, going on to the top of page 2. Tov shir vesta aval lo bodka toch hazman afal pishali achar kach bodka atzma motza tahora tmeya. The Chezkas Orach Bizmano Ba V'Nofal La'aretz Ad Kan. The impression you get, I can't promise you this, but that's how the Achronim seem to have learned the Shach, that the Shach accepts the Bach against the Taz, right? That's the father-in-law and the son-in-law, but the Taz did not accept the Bach. He doesn't mention anything about the Bach. And even if a long period of time goes by, says the Taz, we can assume that she's Tahora, whereas the Shach is quoting the Bach and all those who came before the Bach that Vestos d'Oraisa, and therefore Chazoka Orech Bizmano, but unless she made a Bedika B'Shas Vesta, then we're going to assume that she's Tmei. Only if she made a Bedika B'Shas Vesta. The Pischei Tshuva writes, I am bear, heite b'shem Bach, v'achronim kosu, right, b'shem Bach, right? So that the Bach is machmir, but v'achronim kosu, di ein lochush l'chumra zu. Okay, if you want to underline those words, we're not choshesh for such a chum. Now, Rabosai, do you possibly have a photocopy of the Sidrei Tara? Again, unfortunately got ripped, but Alan took the time to try to patch it all together. And the Sidrei Tara is the only commentary that I found who tries to figure out what motivated Rav Elazar Mimetz to assume that it's Ke'ilu D'oraisa. Why couldn't Rav Elazar Mimetz, you know, be more classical and go down the well-trodden path of all other Rishonim, that Vestos D'oraisa means exactly that, that Vestos are D'oraisa. It comes on the Sidrei Tara with a lumbus to try to explain why in the framework, in the mind of Rav Elazar Mimetz, it would be impossible to maintain that Vestos are D'oraisa. And frankly, before I saw the Sidrei Tara, I was convinced that Rav Elazar Mimetz was saying, what kind of chazaka is this? There's so many variables and changes that we mentioned before, the name of the Chazanish, that come to play, so many factors. How do you know that she's going to see Dam on the vest? But the Sidrei Tara says something else. Very original pshat. He says the following, that if Vestos D'oraisa would be taken literally, like all the Rishonim did, Rav Elazar Mimetz had a kasha. Everyone agrees, even Shmuel Vestos D'oraisa, that when she makes a bedika and she finds herself to be tahora, let's say she made the bedika v'shas vesta, okay, that's the case that we're dealing with, then she's tahora. Says the Sidrei Tara, this is what bothered Rav Elazar Mimetz. What was his kasha? Who knows she made a bedika? There's only one person in the world who knows that she made a bedika, unless, you know, she invited two Adam into the picture, which is very, you know, a little bit of a problem as Tznius was. So let's assume, and I think it's a pretty fair assumption, that what testimony do we have to the fact that she made a bedika and she found herself to be Torah? What's the answer? She herself, that's it. Only her. Oh. So the Sidrei Tara goes through a whole logical, you know, shakalitai. What will you tell me? That we rely on her testimony because Eid Echad Nemen Bisu. So the Gemara at the beginning of Masechta Gittin says that Eid Echad Nemen Bisu has a limitation rule to it. It's not always the case that Eid Echad is Nemen Bisu. Eid Echad is never Bisurim when we don't have a chazaka that contradicts that Eidus. And then you have to know when a shliach brings a get and he says, b'fanei nechtam, and he testifies to the fact that the get was written with Shema for this Baal, for this Isha. Is that against the chazaka? Is it for a chazaka? At the end of the day, he, the shliach, is being machshe the get, and that get will now be used to implement a gerushin and be mafkia, the Yisrei Shesich. L'chor, that's against the chazaka. But on the other hand, we have to know what's the status of the get. Does the get itself have a chazaka that it's kosher? And that has to do with the famous principle of Reish Lakish, Eidem Achsumim al Shtar Nasa Kamisha Nechkar Eidusim Ebeza, which means that every shtar is assumed to be kosher v'yosher until proven otherwise. That every shtar is its own, I call it, that's just my Berzon phrase, it's built into that hechsher. Right. And to that hechsher, like you go to a restaurant, and you should do this from time to time, read the to that carefully, because sometimes if you read it carefully, you'll find out something that you didn't know. That maybe that to that is like 6 months, you know, expired, or maybe it only says kosher on it, doesn't say kosher mahadrin, which is okay if you rely on regular kosher, which means you don't mind chaliva v'shabbos, which is fine. Okay, so you eat the, you know, the cheeses and the milk products because, okay, so maybe it was milked on Shabbos. But if you want mahadrin, make sure the tudas is mahadrin. Every shtar, says Reish Lakish, has a tudat mahadrin. To such an extent, and this is a sugya at the beginning of Bava Metzia, based on a Mishnah in Bava Basra. Mishnah Bava Basra says that the lover could commission a shtar to be written and signed, even though the Baal was not to be found anywhere. And now the question is, that's the sugya at the beginning of Bava Metzia, based on that Mishnah in Bava Basra, when the Malva comes into Bezdin and he says, well, the lover owes me money, And what does he have to prove it? He's got two witnesses signed on a shtar. Well, maybe the shtar was never given to the malva, because the Mishnah says that the lova could write the shtar, the malva's not to be found, and maybe there never was a matan mos. But the answer is Reish Lakish nasa kamisha nechkro idusa mebezdin. And based on Reish Lakish, when a woman produces a get, we're allowed to get married. Today we have a different system. We have what's called a peturin that the bezdin gives her. But back in the day, it wasn't so sophisticated as it is today. A woman produced her get, and the chief rabbi would be Masada Kedusha based on the get. Maybe she found the get, maybe the Baal dropped the get, maybe the Baal thought he was going to divorce and he changed his mind. A million possibilities. Aiden, Hachsumim al Ashtar, Nasa Kamisha, Nechra, Edusim, Bebezdin, feel rest assured. So when the Shliach comes in and he says that the get was written, Kedasu Kedin, Befane Nechtam, Befane Nechtav, it was written with a lishma by the sofer, then according to the Torah law, he's just being makshir something that has its own cheskas kashrus anyway. The question is why we need the shliach to say so, and that has to do with the fact that in Bavel there was a period of time when there was a lot of amaratzis and they weren't sure if the sofer knew to write it lishma, blah blah blah. Fine. Says the Gemara, when is Eid Echad Nemen Visurin? That's only when there's no chazaka that contradicts the eight. But if there is a head-on collision between a chazaka and the testimony of one aid, chazaka wins out. Eid Echad is not Nemen Visurin against what? Against the Cheskas Kashrus. I'm sorry, against the Cheskas Isur, I meant to say. Fektoisvis, if that be the case, how is a man allowed to have relations with his wife? I mean, he knew and he knows that she wasn't Nida, she had Dam. So she tells him, well, Tahorani, Eidechon em Bisurin, she had a Cheskas Isur. We know that 5 minutes ago or a day ago she was Tmea. Now she says, well, I counted Zayin Nekiyim, I went to Mikvah, Alt's good, and he relies on her. Fektos, how can he rely on her?
How can you not?
Of course, how can you not? But no, we're asking what's the mechanics, so you know what I'm saying? You know, maybe we should throw out this premise that an Eid Echad is not believed against the Cheskas Isur. But that's explicit in the Gemara, so how do we reconcile that? So Tosfos says that the Pasuk says V'safra La, which means that she counts, and we rely on her. So Fektosis, how do we talk a rely on her? It's against the Cheskas Isur. So Tosfos says there's some concept called Biyada. Biyada means, again, this is very complicated, but biyada means that the Torah says she counts, and now she can go to mikvah. Says the Sidri Tara, if the entire credibility of an Eid Echad, in this case an Isha, is based on, Tosfos says, biyada, because she can jump into the mikvah, that's not going to help us with the issue of Vestos. We want to know whether or not Chazaka Orech Bizmano Ba. She wants to come and tell us that even though the chazaka is very respectable, and she says I respect that chazaka, but it's inapplicable, and I'm the exception to the rule. Okay, so what happens here? A woman three times in a row, three consecutive months, sees at a certain time in that month, right? Comes the fourth month, and she comes along and tells us, I didn't see. That's Eid Echad against a chazaka, because if Vestos are Doraisa, the Torah recognizes the chazaka that she will definitely see. She's telling me, well, I'm the exception, I didn't see, I made a bedikin, I didn't see. That's not biyada. If you understand the love, the depth of this Sidrei Tara, he's saying she has biyada that once the Zayin Nikim pass by, she can go into the mikvah. Fine, and that's why we believe her to say Tahorani. But she doesn't have the credibility to smack up against the chazaka that tells me she saw Dam, and she says, no, I didn't see Dam. What do you mean you didn't see Dam? The chazaka tells me that you saw Dam. And Rabbi Elazar Metz was so perturbed by this question that he came to the conclusion, Kenet Zayin, there's no such thing as Vestos Doraisa. It's only Vestos Derabanan, but Asu Kidoraisa means the Rabbanan was so nervous about the probability theory or the statistical probability that she will see Dam Bishas Vesta, that the Rabbanan said we assume she saw Dam Vesta. But it's not a chazaka to Oraisa such that the Rabbanan would have no reliability and no credibility to the Isha when she says that she's the exception to the rule. And therefore the very fact that she can make a bedika, and Shmuel, who's the Baal Ashita that Vestos the Rice agrees that she makes a bedika b'shas Vesta and she finds herself to be Tahora, then she's Muteres. And we're going to assume that even though Chazaka, she is the exception to the rule and she didn't see for whatever reason, even though the last 3 months she saw exactly at this time. How could she be believed, says the Sidrei Tara? I'll read to you his language. He says, Hecha de Bodka betok shir vest, my mehemna, why she believes she Torah? Hay boil on the perkisha rabbi made echa dem bisur, echa des chazik bisura. Again, there are a lot of different details over here, and I'm going to skip to the bottom of this paragraph. He says, "Mishum hachi mefarshe aposkim anal," meaning Reb Loza v'Metz, "de lekuli alma vestos the rabbanai." If Shmuel says explicitly that we rely on her bedika, and it's basically her word against the chazaka, and yet we paskin that a woman, or for that matter a man, Eid Echad is not believed against the chazaka, then it must be that this is all rabbinic. The whole thing is the rabbanan. And when it comes to an Isser, the rabbanan, even in a cheskas Isser, Eid Echad is believed. So Eid Echad is not believed against the cheskas Isser d'oraisa, Eid Echad is believed against the cheskas Isser the rabbanan. The Hodika Amar Vestos Do Raisa Rebanish Allah. All the Rishonim unanimously read the Gemara the way we read the Gemara. Vestos Do Raisa. The Torah absolutely validates this Chazaka. Orach Bizvano Ba. Name, says Rav Loza v'Metz, Hainu Shech Miru Bazekeim Do Raisa. In the absence of a Bedika, we're going to assume that Orach Bizvano Ba and she had Dam. If she makes a bedika and she tells us that she's Tahora, forget about Orech Bizman Uba. It's her word against the Chazaka. The Chazaka is only to Rabbanan, and Rabbanan believe and rely on Eid Echad against the Chazaka. This is Reb Elazar
Mimetz. How would he deal with the...
Well, just Alan wanted to say something, Shalom, if you don't mind, because he's been he's been pressing. You know.
I can't say too much.
You can say a lot, but we won't hear you. You know, it's all in your mind. That'd have to be a mind reader too.
Don't ask him that if Rabbi says Nes Mali.
Good. So we don't know how that works. That's called Afkinu Rabbanan LeKedusha Mineh, which has become a very hot issue in 2016, and I assume it's going to spill over to 2017, especially if she gets elected president. No, I'm just kidding. It has nothing to do with...
What I mean to say here is that we're talking about Chazaka D'oraisa. The last time he was seen by anybody was alive. So therefore, you're talking about she's Mafkia Chazaka D'oraisa.
How does it work? So the answer is she was never married.
No,
I'm serious, Alan. That's the only answer to your question, that she was never married. That's what the Gemara says in the sixth Perek Yevamos. Afkinu Rabbanan LeKedusha Mineh.
Oh, so you say, okay.
If not for that, there's no reason in the world that we can rely on what's called Isha Daiku Minsum. However, there are Rishonim who want to say that the Umdun is so strong that it's like Shnei Edim, but for that you have to know a Sugin Subis, whether Umdun could ever be strong enough to be like Shnei Edim. For example, you know about Kinyan Stira. Now, Kinyan Stira generates an Isha Labayla. How does that work? You need two Edom. Ain't Tov Shemera Pops Mishnai.
What does those words mean?
Which word did I use? I'm sorry.
Kinyan and Stira?
No, Kinyan and Stira means if a man wants his wife not to go into a private place, that's called Kinyan, and she violates his warning and she went into a private place, the Oraisa. Again, Rabbosai, this is not a Chumad the Rabbana. That's why I always tell people, be careful what you say to your wife, because it's no joke. I mean, because it people have said things and then they regret it afterwards, but it's too late, Alpi Allah. You know, if there were Edom who saw his kinui and Edom saw the stira, I mean, you're af tzalachas, man. I don't know what to tell you. And if you're a Kohen, it's irreversible. You know, so if you're Israel, okay, maybe you can find some sort of, but even then, I don't know if you. But be that as it may, so the Alefrek de Shaila, ain't Dov Shabera Pachas Mishnayim, she's got a Cheskes Hetel Abayla, how can you be Mafkia that Hetel Abayla? Just because there was Kini and Steve, but nobody saw that she had relations with that man. So some Rishonim want to claim that we have to derive a revolutionary conclusion from here, that there's certain umdanos, which was loosely translated to English as circumstantial evidence, which are so powerful and so profound that they have the status of two eidim, like two witnesses. And if you apply that to Daiku Mitzvah, because, you know, if she lies and her husband is alive and well, the implications are mind-boggling. You know, it takes a mizeh mizeh, v'avlad mam's mizeh mizeh. So therefore, she's very careful to make sure that she absolutely knows, beyond the shadow of doubt, that her husband died. But again, that's a weak, you know, but the pashas in the sugya is afkinu rabbanu l'kedusha minei. Now, how that works, I don't know. I mean, maybe I do know, but I don't know. You know, that's really complicated. All right, Shalom, you wanted to say something. How are we doing on the clock, by the way? We still have some time? Okay, good, good, good. I mean, I'm not saying we're going to go the full 35 minutes, but I just want to know that I have a little bit of time because I want to get to the Chavos Das.
How if would I can. Rabbi Yoel, I guess we're meant to deal with the Chazal Mishnah's position that, you know, Chazaka, no Chazaka. You know, you can't.
The question here, Shalom,
so
is how do we view Mesulek as dumb? And there are two ways of viewing Mesulek as dumb. Again, we didn't get up to the sugya. Mesulek as dumb is a gigantic sugya in Hilchos Nida. You know, what do we assume about a woman who's pregnant, a woman who's nursing, a woman who's, you know, right after birth, and then there's Damtara that we spoke. There's a lot of issues here, but Mesulek as dumb can be viewed in one of two ways. It could be viewed in one way in which it really undermines the whole concept of a vest, of Chazaka Oref Bisman Abba. I mean, I'll prove it to you. The woman gave birth. You know, sometimes you meet a young man who's, let's say, been married for 2-3 years, and you test him in Hilchos Nida, and he's a graduate of one of the great yeshivas, and he does no beans. He does no babkis. What happened? So he says, none of this has been relevant for, like, most of my married life, because my wife is either pregnant, in nursing, you know, like, When does she got a mikvah? Like, it's not, that's called Mesulek is dumb. So some see that Mesulek is dumb is so common that a woman doesn't have a period that the whole concept of Chazaka can't be understood. Others say no, that Mesulek is dumb is a very specified, you know, area, and it only applies to this. For example, what generates a vest? Like, we've been talking until now, operating with a very simplistic premise that vest means that she saw three times consecutively on a certain day at a certain time. That's oversimplifying a much more complicated. There are all sorts of vestos. You know, there's a vest l'kfitza. You know, she jumps and she sees what?
Afloga.
Yeah, afloga, and then what's it called? Forget it. Anyway, there's all sorts of different types of vestos. Okay, so let me just see where we're up to here in my. In the Meir Makomos pages. Oh, fine. Oh, so now what I want to talk to you about is the Shitas HaRambam, the Shitas HaRif VeHaRambam. Okay then? So let's just give some introduction to this. Okay. Now, on page 2 of your Meir Makomos, I know, did you guys get page 2?
Yeah.
Everybody got page 2. Okay, good. So there's a Ran. Do you see the Ran? It's about, I would say, the third source up from the bottom, if you're counting in that direction. And the Ran is in Masechet Shavuos. Now, how did this Ran, which has to do with Hilchos Nida, creep into Masechet Shavuos? And the answer is, there is a concept in Masechta Shavuos, and if you haven't heard it until now, please make a note of it, because it's going to come up over and over again, and it's called Prisha Samuch Levest, which means that a man has to separate from his wife vest time. Because again, we're assuming, and this is even if I hold Vestos de Rabbanon, because that's explicit in the Gemara. The Gemara has no, you know, less mind to polik. Nobody questions this halacha, this requirement of Prisha Samach Levest. That we anticipate that she will see on her vest. Now, if I can add just one or two sentences here, but I'm always afraid I'm going to confuse you and confuse myself here, but let's just give it a shot. if we assume, like all the Rishonim, that we paskin vestos derabanan, the whole concept of Prisha Samach Levest is problematic, to say the least. What do I mean? The Gemara derives in Masech Teshvuas the requirement of Prisha, separating yourself from your wife, Samach Levest, from a Pasuk in Chumash. And the Pasuk says, Vizhartem is B'nai Yisrael. And what is Vizhartem? What should we warn them? And Chazal say that you should warn them about Prisha Samach Levest. So if I hold Vestos de Oraisa in the classical sense, not Rav Elazar Mimetz's version with the Sidrei Tara's interpretation, then Nicha, I understand that the Torah is telling me, since Chazaka Orach Bizmano Bar, you have to assume that within this 12-hour period, let's call it, to simplify, she's going to see, and therefore don't get involved in a Maisa Bia in which halfway through the Bia she tells you, hey, guess what, buddy, I'm a neither. You know, you don't want to get into that. So that's Prisha Samach Levest. On the contrary, the cash is the other way around. Why we need the Pasuk Vizhartem to generate and formulate to derive this Isur of Prisha Samach Levest, if Vestos Doraisa, then obviously he can't have Tashmish Amita with his wife during that period of time, because Chazaka Orech Bizmano Baz. So that's the opposite question. But that's not the question I'm going to address now. I'm going to ask the opposite question. If Vestos Adurabanon, and that's how we paskin, so how do I understand that from a pasuk in Chumash, I'm going to derive a conclusion that's based on Chazaka? And you deny this Chazaka. So again, you want to say the Rabbanon accept the Chazaka, they validate it, fine. I can justify La Halacha L'Maisa Prisha Samach Levest, because even if it's toast to Rabbanon, you have to worry about the fact that she's going to see. But I can't justify the fact that that's derived from a pasuk in Chumash.
Asmachta, to say?
Oh, exactly. So that's the Ravid Shita. The famous Shita, the Ravid, is that the pasuk is only an Asmachta to Rabbanon. And again, there's going to be battles back and forth, and there's a lot of bloodshed on this issue, whether we can apply the principle of Asmachta to Rabbanon on this Vizhartem is B'nai Yisrael, Prisha Samach Levest. So I don't want to let the cat out of the bag, but Amir Tzashem, B'li Neder, in the next year, not for today, I want to discuss with you the revolution, I call it, of the Noda B'Yehuda. The Noda B'Yehuda lived 3.5 centuries ago. His name was Landau. He was a good old Levi, like all the Landau's should be, if they're real Landau's, if they're not Falsh. And he was the final Posek for Ashkenazim 3.5 centuries ago. Mamish Ozozmi Piv. And the Chassam Sofer and all the Rav Kivegas, they all worship, you know, the ground that the Noda B'Yehuda walks on. He was an amazing, amazing genius and quite a fascinating personality as well. And he has a way of saying that even if the drasha of Vizhartem is Doraisa, and therefore Prisha Samach Levest is a Doraisa, I can still reconcile that with the position of Vestosa Drabon. And I don't want to let the cat in the bag. He has an unbelievable chiddush that has tremendous tremors and repercussions throughout Hilchas Nida. All of Hilchas Nida always comes back to this Noda B'Yehuda's chiddush. Okay, fine. So the Ran in Masech Teshvuas is talking about Vestos, whether they're Doraisa or Derabbanan. And he writes that according to the Rif, Vestos are Derabbanan. The Rambam, who's in a sense a Talmud of the Rif, I don't mean that the Rambam actually sat at the feet of the Rif, but 99 out of 100 cases the Rambam paskins like the Rif. They both write La Halacha, that if a woman has a vest and she didn't make a bedikah, as far as we know, her husband is on a trip out to Medina Sayam, and when he left her before her vest, she was tahara. Now he comes back from his trip, and the Rif says he doesn't even have to ask her whether she's tahara or not. So you and I might say, well, if she didn't tell him otherwise, maybe that's proof positive that she's still tahara. But the Rif goes even further than that. Afilu mitzah yeshana. He finds her sleeping. Again, I'm not advocating having relations with your wife when she's asleep. But let's say she's half asleep, okay? I don't want to, because, you know, for tznius purposes, we should assume that she's half asleep. Muta lovo aleo shelo baonis vesta. as long as it's not that very ona of her vest, even if it's a week after her ona's vesta, he's allowed to have relations with her without hearing that she's tahora. V'eino choshesh shema nida hi. Pilei plan. He doesn't have to worry that she's a nida. V'ayinir mitvar she'ein tzarch lochush elolonis vesta atzma v'lo liachem ikan klal. Now, Rabosai, this is the Rif Rambam that I mentioned to you at the beginning of our discussion against Tosfos and all those who accepted Tosfos, that the Rabbanon, even though Vestos is only the Rabbanon, required a Bedika, and until she makes a Bedika, she's Asura Labayla. The Rif and the Rambam don't even seem to require a Bedika at all. There's nowhere mentioned here, you know, there's no whisper to the fact that she made a Bedika. Okay, let's grant that she has to make a Bedika, but we don't know that she made a bedika. And mutal love olam. Wow. It's pretty radical. So the question is, how do we understand this sheet of the Rif? So the Ran, which in the next paragraph is a long, long discussion in which he tries to iron out this Rif, but you'll see on the bottom of your page 2, he suggests a pshat in the Rif. Okay then? Now, what I'm going to try to do at this point is to read just a summary or parts of the Ran's interpretation of the Rif. When I say Rif here, it means Rif / Rambam. Of course, they're both on the same page. He says the following. Okay, now to understand a lot of the parts of the Ran that we skipped and to appreciate the severity of the kasha, of the difficulty in understanding the Rif, we want to take a look for a moment, and again I hope it's on your page, and if not you'll accept my apologies, to the Gemara on Daf Tesvav Amud Aleph. The Gemara on Daf Tesvav Amud Aleph. Just give me a second here to get oriented. Towards the bottom of Tesvav Amud Aleph, the Gemara quotes Rav Huna. Rav Huna says that Yesh La Vest Asur L'Shamesh, and then four lines up from the bottom of the page, Yitmar Hachi Yitmar Rav Huna Loshna El Shalo Yigia Shas Vest Vesta Aval Yigia Shas Vesta Asura Kasavar Vestos Dorais. So we have now Rav Huna. Now keep in mind that Rav Huna is a pretty late Amora, and I mention this to you because Tosfos on Daf Tezayin, one blot further, is committed to Basra like Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, that Vestos to Rabbana because he's a Basra. I'm not sure how to square that with Rav Huna at this point. Rav Bar Chana, okay, so he's a contemporary of Rav Huna, so that's okay. Omar Afili Gia Shas Vesta Nami Muteres Kosovar Vestos to Rabbana. Says Tosfos, four lines from the bottom of the page, Tema, Heich Muteres, Ha'amrina B'Shvuas, that's a sugya I mentioned before, and it's also Gemara later on in Nida, Azhara L'Bnei Yisrael She'yifreshu Minishoseyem Sabach L'Vestan. And Azhara here means Dorai, so he doesn't work with the Ravid's Asmach to V'Yalma. The Gemara derives this from a pasuk, V'Zhartem is B'nei Yisrael. So how could it be that according to Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, he gives shas vesta, she's muteres, because vestos to Rabbanu. But what about the fact that there's a din of prisha samach levest, and that's a doraisa? So Tosfos says that this case of Rabbi Bar Chana, yeshlomik sheshasar achar vesta shivas yomim. 7 days passed since her vest. she yichol litvo. Again, you have to go into all the drabonans and, you know, so forth and so forth. But on the Doraisa level, at least 7 days after Avest, she could go to mikvah. And therefore, if that's the case, Sofek Tvila, Motzia Midei Sofek Rasa. Tosis Lefalm. That Vestolos Drabonan means after Avest she may have seen, maybe she didn't see. Tosis calls that a Sofek. Obviously, in a case of Sofek, what do? If a woman may have seen Dam, may have not seen Dam, Sofek Doraisa Lechumra. Says Tosis, what does it mean that she's Muteres Labaila? 7 days passed. And therefore, even if I grant you that she saw Dam, we have another Sofek to enter into the picture. Namely what? Sofek Tavla. So you have Sofek Rasa and Sofek Tavla, Linidasa, Liriyasa. We don't know if she saw or she didn't see, but even if I take the worst case scenario, she saw, she may have indeed gone to the mikvah. And that's why Rabbi Bar Hana says, and in that case, Rabbi Bar Hana says that she's Muteris Levaila. Says the Ran, again, we're really in a mind-boggling situation here because the Rif went as far as to say, forget about the Bedika, the Vest passed, and she's Muteris Levaila. He comes back from Medina Sayam, finds her sleeping, and she's Muteris. How can that be? We're dealing with a Safed. In other words, if the Rif would have said that 7 days passed after he comes, you know, since her vest, okay, maybe we could construct this Sveksveka. Did she see? Did she not see? Vestos the Rabbanan, maybe she saw, and even if she did see, but 7 days passed, so therefore she's Toveles. Maybe she was Toveles. We don't know. It's a Sveksveka. Fine. But that's not the case of the Rif. The Rif never, ever adds this stipulation that 7 days passed since Havest to make it into a Sveksveka.
Yeah, Sveksveka, when you were able to Levara the Din?
Another question. That's a different question. How do we interpret Sveksveka? So yeah. That's the first run in Masechet Ksuvos where the Sveksveka requires a Biru. I would tell you that Sveksveka does not require a beer. That's what I would say, you know. But that's not what you'll find in the poskim. But that's what I would have said, because Sveksveka is not whatever.
So her vest is on the third, and he leaves on the third,
right?
And he doesn't come back until the 13th, right? 5, 7,
right?
12. He comes back on the 13th.
So Tosa says she's Muteris. Why? Because the Sveksveka. The Rif says he came back on the 6th, a day after a vest. She's sleeping. He could have relations with her. She's Muteris Labaila without a blink. You could begin to see where the Ran is you know, the struggle and the challenge that he has to face himself. Okay, so what does the Ran say? With this, I'll try to wrap it up now with this Ran. The Ran says that whatever it's, wherever you see Bedika in the Gemara, right? Okay, let's just see. Let's take a look now on Aladaf, Tezayin, right? On Tezayin, it says the following. Omar Rav Sheshes. Okay, let me show it to you on the Maror Makomos page if that makes life a little bit easier for you. Omar Rav Sheshes. Here it is. It's on page 2, the next to the last source. You have that? Omar Rav Sheshes Kitanoi. This whole issue about whether Vestos Doraisa or Derabonin is Machlokas Tanoi, says Rav Sheshes. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Tmeya Nida. That if her vest passes, she's got the status of a nida, because vestos doraisa. From Yeshua Omer, tibodek. She should make a bedika. Vahani tanoi, kihani tanoi. You can switch the names of the tanoim, because we have a braisa, Rabbi Meir Omer, tmea nida, v'chacham omrim tibodek. Says the Ran, the two tanoim, let's call them by name, Rabbi Yeshua and Chachamim, Chachom of Rameir, they both say Tibodek. They're of the opinion that Vestos the Rabbana. Her vest passes, she made a Bedika, she found herself to be Tahora. She's Tahora. But, says the Ran, she requires a Bedika. No one denies that she requires a bedikah. So we manavshal. If you go back to Rabbi Bar Bar Chana Daf Tesvav and Alv is talking about Sveksveika. Right? Because Vestos to Rabbana, maybe she saw, maybe she didn't see, maybe she was Tovelas but Mikvah 7 days passed since her vet. If you go with the Sugya here on Daf Tezayin, even the Madiyoru who says Vestos to Rabbana, which is of Yeshua the Tanakhama, they require a bedikah. And the Rif and the Rana, not the Rif and the Rama, but not requiring a bedikah. Such a pella on this Rif and Rama. Says the Ran, an amazing chiddush. We misread the Gemara. What does tibodek mean? Tibodek means that according to your shita, Rabbi Lezer or Rabbi Meir, tibodek, chach, meaning even if you hold, this is what Rabbi Yeshua was telling, or the Tanakam was telling Rabbi Eliezer in the case of Rabbi Yeshua, or Rabbi Meir in the case of the Tanakam, the second Raisa, even you have to agree that bedikah should be enough. I hold that you don't even need bedikah. He says the following. He says, Nirali de'inu zal, meaning the Rif and the Rambam, Savri, they're of the opinion, the Chachamim Rabbi Yeshua di Amri tibodek, when the Chachamim and Rabbi Yeshua said, quote unquote, tibodek, laflugi adetanakama did who, the Amakoshlo bod kabishas vesta tmeya nida. You wanted to say that if she didn't make a bedikah b'shas vesta, then we assume that she is what? That she is tmeya, right? That's what you wanted to assume. You meaning Rabbi Lazar or Rabbi Meir. And what we have to say about this, les la ela tibodek. Klomer ein lecha chomer acher bevestos. The only chomer that you can require vestos is shetzarech bedika b'shas vesta. That's as far as you can go. Aval kol sha'ovar ha'vest lo metei tzarech livdok. Wow. It's unbelievable. The Ran is saying that according to the Rif and the Rambam, what they meant was, again, I'm not going to repeat over and over again who the they is, so it's Rabbi Yeshua and the Tanakhama. What they meant when they said tibodeg is that even if you hold vestos, and vestos adoraisa, all you need is a bedikah b'shas vesta. But once the vest passes, then for sure she doesn't need a bedikah. Lama shetehei tzarech livdok. She doesn't even need a bedikah. In other words, if she passed her vest and she didn't see, then we have every reason to assume that she's the exception to the rule, and the vest doesn't say, doesn't speak to her at all. And you don't even need a bedikah. V'lama nachush she'heidamim mitzuyim ba shalom b'shas vesta. If there's a chumra of vestos d'orais, it's only b'shas vesta. Then and only then do we assume that she has dam. But if she passed the vesta, then she goes back to her original state and ain't dama mitzuyim ba. We don't assume that she has dam. And there's no need for a bedikah.
She saw it and then she missed it. We had before. And the chazok and has that's to not, kick in, and then you have to show that it's not there.
So what's the pshat? What's the pshat in this sheet of the Ran and the Rif according to the Ran? I'm sorry, the Rif and the Ram according to the Ran, that only b'shas vesta we have this chumra to assume that she'll see dam, but not after shas vesta. Once she passes the shas vesta, she's no longer the man mitzuyim ba, and there's not even a need for the deep. All right, Rabbi Osei, this is where I'm going to leave you. Tomorrow, what's today? I guess Monday, right? That's when we get together again? Monday, I don't know who will be here, you know. Don't all raise your hands at once, but for anyone who will be here on Monday, what I want to accomplish, believe neither on Monday, is number one, the Ramban's interpretation of the Rambam and the Rif, and number two, which is most important to me, is the Chavos Das. This is the Bala Nesivos that you have a photocopy of, hopefully. So hold on to that. And the Mirtz Hashem, we'll get to that the next one. Now, if there's anyone who can't be here on Wednesday,
next Wednesday,
I meant to say on Monday, but we'll take every day as it comes, every year as it comes, then let me know if you want at least, you know, hear a recording of the shiur. Again, it's much better to be here and argue with me during the shiur. If you can't be here, let me know. Okay, then? All right.